The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us late night. I almost made it through. I can't believe I missed the end of the hockey game. Were you like me? You're trying to hang in there. It didn't start. The USA women's hockey gold medal game against Canada, which ended up being epic, which ended up going into a shootout, which the United States won. I tried. I really did try and was not able to get all the way through it, but it was an epic. I watched the highlights this morning of Matty Rooney's overtime save, and the USA wins. So we'll have that here in a little bit. Eric, I hear your mic is on. Does he want to jump in on something, or are you just you're just working away on it? You're just getting in on it? It's fine. No, it's fine. We always like having guys jump on in. I was on the Parkland School.
My mic wasn't on, but...
It wasn't on?
No.
No, it sounded like
it. I mean, we just had to push a button.
Oh, is that it?
That's all.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did not. I saw the highlights.
Yeah?
I did not see the game.
Did you watch CNN last night at all, the Parkland?
I did not see that.
The Parkland event last night was really something else. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. So I'll check back with you in a little bit.
Okay.
All right. That's how we
You won't out. Hear me in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. We are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. Guys, look, no, I shouldn't say guys. Everybody in the audience, you need life insurance. Have you checked on your life insurance? You may be saying to yourself, Brad, what are you beating me up about? I'm not. I'm just merely asking the question. Have you looked into your life insurance, and do you have everything in place if something were to happen to you? Sagicor Now, log on, Sagicor Now. And get your free quote. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. What's on my mind, brought to you by Sagicor Now. What's the Parkland event last night on CNN? As I was going back and forth with the Olympics. My wife is into skiing. Outside of Lindsey Vonn, the skiing just kind of runs together. And I've been bothered and disturbed, obviously, as most of you have been, by the rash in our country of school shootings. And I have a son that I drop off every day at school. And every day I have a little thought in my head that I can't wait to see him in the afternoon. And I can't imagine what those parents and those families have had to go through. And as I was watching the event last night, and I see these high school kids just getting after people, just getting after them. And then I'm hearing and reading about how this generation is saying, you know what, enough of this nonsense, enough of this BS, enough of this conversation. And we're going to go out socially and express our views. And it's very refreshing to see this, actually, from kids to stand up and say, we're going to take a stand here because the adults can't seem to figure it out. So I was gripped to that last night on many levels and was moved more than a few times in emotion by watching that last night. So I was on that for a bit. Over on the sports side, so the women's hockey game started. I was with it till about the middle of the second period, and it was almost 11. I may sound like an old guy. It was just I was out. So we're going to talk about that a little bit further in the show and the significance of it outside of, because I'm sure, like most of you, unless you're really diehard, and this will offend some of you, I'm sure, we didn't know any of these players. Unless you really have been following the women's hockey team. I know the last name Granato. Of course, I covered Tony when he was with the Kings. It's nothing more than when it's Olympic time, outside of Lindsey Vonn, I didn't know all the downhill skiers and all the racers. I don't have time for all that. It's nice to be supportive of our country. Am I wrapping myself in the flag a little bit? Sure I am. Am I rooting against other countries? Not really. It's an individual sport. You just like to see them go out and compete. Are there people that when I see them interviewed, it's like, ooh, I don't know about that one. When they try a trick and they bite it. Last night, there was a guy that tried a trick. It was in the half pike. And he landed like with his legs spread out. And the announcers were, oh, oh. And then, of course, NBC shows replay after. Oh,
yeah,
I did see that.
Yeah, I did see that. And that was ugly. And I do like how NBC showed 4 different replays from 4 different angles and slowed it down.
The leg.
And
right.
Then the.
Right. And they're describing it, Eric,
it's
like
just crazy.
Yeah, so what's that like, Bodie? Well, it's kind of like hitting cement. Oh, there's the leg.
That's pretty just, much what it feels like, I'm sure.
And the leg is just doing this. And there's the unit out there. And that's their deal, though. I get it.
And after the crash, those poor people just like they're just laying lifeless there.
Right. Right.
Like after they slide down the hill and just come to a rest, and then it's like 1,001, 1,002, 1,006, and then finally someone comes out and gets him.
No, that was the other thing I noticed. Right, you're right. Like, is somebody going to go to him, or are we just supposed to, well, there he is. You got to crawl off to the side. There wasn't anybody, and it's, what, 9 degrees, and it's ice, so it's not like they can run out there, like the trainers can just run out there. So, I watched that a little bit last night.
I just saw bits and pieces, but I did see that.
I get it, bits and pieces.
Yeah. Speaking of crashes.
It's essentially what was that guy's leg. I saw that the USA is going for gold in curling. There's a great picture this morning of a Canadian husband of his wife, and she's out there curling, and he's got double-fisted beer going. And that was very early in the match. I saw that on social media today. I thought that was pretty cool. So tonight in college basketball, this is the story of the day in the Valley is what is going to be happening tonight in college basketball. We're 2 weeks away from being in Las Vegas. Our good friends over at Columbus Meats said, you're going to go to Vegas. You're going to do the show. We want to be the title sponsor of it. We're going. We are self-funded, so we appreciate when partners step up. And those of you that consider stepping up, when you do. How we go places and do things. That's how we've done it for 6 years. So we'll be in Las Vegas. Eric is going to go with me this time. I think last year I went solo. This year Eric and I are going to go together. And we have the great opportunity this year of covering not just two, but three teams. Thing is, all three teams are in this weird space, in my opinion, as we get ready for being in Vegas for Pac-12 and WAC tournament play. 2 weeks from, actually for ASU and U of A, not U of A, for ASU in all likelihood, they will play an early game on Wednesday. So in 13 days. GCU opens WAC tournament play 2 weeks from today, as will U of A. Arizona plays at Oregon State tonight. I wrote a column last night about how Sean Miller and DeAndre Ayton would make sense to me to come to the Phoenix Suns. Those of you that have watched this show and over the last few weeks, I have pointed out time and time again that it is time for this team to just start losing and losing big. And of course, the Suns are going to say, no, that's not in our plans. And that's why you guys have sat around for all these years and you can't seem to get over the top. Hopefully they figure it out and come to their senses. Did you see where Mark Cuban was fined $600,000 after talking about tanking openly? And he took his veteran players to dinner. I love this story about Mark Cuban. I don't love the other stuff that happened with the Mavericks and Mark Cuban, okay, this week with the turning the other way on an employee and sexual violence and domestic violence. I don't like that, okay? But on this story with Cuban taking his veteran players out to dinner and explaining to them the merits of losing games is very smart. It's very forward-thinking. We're sitting over here with a franchise that openly says, no, we're not going to do that. And maybe it's because Robert doesn't want to get fined $600,000. I get it. It's not going to come on Ryan McDonough getting fined $600,000. If you've noticed my narrative in the last couple days on the Suns, I'm talking all about Robert. I'm not talking about Ryan. This is all about Robert. So Sean Miller and DeAndre Ayton come to the Suns next year. You'll say, well, Sean Miller's never won an NCAA championship. That doesn't matter to me. Sean Miller can coach. I think Sean Miller is a really good game coach, a really good gamesmanship coach. And there's certain guys that either have it at the college to pro level. Rick Pitino did not. Okay. Brad Stevens, sure. Billy Donovan, absolutely. Now you'll say, well, look at what Billy Donovan has had to work with. Yeah, I get that. I'd say Devin Booker is fast approaching that superstar status. You have to make all-star games in order for that to happen, but when you're constantly on the worst team in the league, that's not going to be the cards for you. So Sean Miller could come here, DeAndre Ayton could come here, and I think it would get the marketplace energized. I think them being able to win games obviously is what you want, but there's got to be some interest in the franchise. The franchise has never been lower since I've been here. It's just flatline in terms of interest. And you have a nice player here in Devin Booker whose career is slowly going by. And now you look at it and say, you have an opportunity to bring in a coach this year. And the coach that you presently have employed, Jay Triano, is a good gamesmanship coach, good game coach, can do things with his team and get them motivated to play, good words about him around the league. Facts are facts. They've suffered some of the worst, most humiliating losses in the history of the Suns franchise. So why and how could you trust him with the keys of the car long term? You do have to jumpstart this thing, okay? And if you don't jumpstart this thing, if you bring Jay Triano back next year and you decide you're going to go try to win games, then we're just going to go through this process again and again and again. For those of you that like to point out, well, at least they didn't get Lonzo Ball and they got Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson got passed over, not even invited to play in the All-Star Weekend game with the rookies. He's the fourth overall pick in the draft and they passed him over. Yeah, the last couple of weeks he started to play better, but once again, our heroes on the hardwood go out and get somebody who's not really ready to go. DeAndre Ayton is the next Tim Duncan. There's too many people. It's not just Brad Sussmat behind a microphone saying this. There's too many NBA people whose opinions I respect that say this guy, you can't miss on him. So it's big for Sean Miller tonight. Arizona State plays at Oregon tonight. There's some around the Sun Devils that don't believe they're in the tournament as of yet. I think that's nonsense. I think they're in. I think beating UCLA and USC assured that they're going to get in. Playing at Oregon, that is not easy. And Bobby Hurley's team tonight has something to prove. And then you have Grand Canyon University. We'll take a break after this. GCU plays Seattle University tonight. All the buildup around the Lopes this year in going to the postseason, I have said all along the regular season means nothing. It all depends on what happens when they get into the WAC tournament. They're not going to take more than one team from the WAC. You can go win every game, get into the WAC tournament, lose in the first round, doesn't matter. You can go lose every game, go win the WAC tournament, you're going to go to the NCAAs. That's just how it is in that tournament. So Dan has been crushing his team to try to get better offensively, to make clutch free throws, to play a complete game. They play a good team tonight in Seattle. This is a big game for Dan Majerle tonight. All three of our in-state teams at the Division I level have big games tonight. That is the story in the Valley outside of the Diamondbacks. And up next, we'll talk with Bob Nightingale more about the Diamondbacks' moves. He joins us next, USA Today and MLB Network's Bob Nightingale, one of the best in the business. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's do a deeper dive on the Diamondbacks and what has gone on this week. It's been a week of moves, a flurry of action finally taking place with the thawing out of the J.D. Martinez thing and, of course, the Diamondbacks and making a couple of deals. Always like to hear Bob Nightingale's voice, USA Today columnist, MLB Network insider. He is down in the Grapefruit Circuit down in Florida. Do you prefer the Grapefruit Circuit first or the Cactus League better?
I started the Cactus League just because of the proximity and obviously, you know, living there and, you know, everything else. I'm going to school there. So, you know, what some guys do, and it makes sense, is that the weather is so much nicer in Florida this time of year. And then you get, then some people do Arizona, you know, later on, you know, as Arizona warms up in the spring, you know. So you don't have those chilly days here at all. I think they set a record this year. Or I want to say it's like over 20 days over 80 in the Tampa area.
Where are you heading today, Bob? What park are you going to?
I was at the Yankees. Now I'm heading over to the Blue Jays.
All right. And let's go over to the Yankees first with the trade with the Diamondbacks. And from the Diamondbacks' perspective in getting Souza here and Drury going to the Yankees, take me through that component and how do you think it all worked out?
Well, I thought it worked out great for the Diamondbacks. I mean, Souza's a stud. I mean, he's a very good, productive outfielder. You know, he can really hit. Now, they, you know, when you talk to the Yankee people and stuff, they said, you know, the Diamondbacks gave up a lot. A lot of people like Banda, the pitcher they traded away. But he's a prospect. You know, you never know about a pitching prospect. But I think, Souza will really fill that role left by Martinez.
Okay, Souza the last season looked like he had better plate discipline. The hole in the bat wasn't as big, hole in the swing. Are you seeing that? Is that the word around him? Because when I see 30 home runs and 70 RBIs, I have a bit of a concern there.
Yeah, I mean, you wish it was more ribbies, obviously. But, you know, the team wasn't that good. And everything else, it seemed like the whole team was kind of launching the ball not getting many guys on base. You know, some of those guys that just kind of matures, I think, with age. And this guy was traded, pretty much traded for Will Myers. That's how much the Rays thought of him at one time. Mm-hmm. And even look at a guy like J.D. Martinez, how long it took him to kind of develop into the here he is. So, you know, maybe this guy's just finally getting it.
Bob Nightingale's with us, USA Today columnist, MLB Network insider, on the road down in Florida, going from the Yankees to Toronto. Overall, what the Diamondbacks have done here this week with their moves, are they a better team, equal team, less than the team that made it to the postseason last year, in your opinion?
I think they're a better team, you know, and let's be honest, they only had Martinez for a couple of months. Paul Goldschmidt struggled in September. So, you know, from start to finish, I think it's a better team. And I'm glad they kept, you know, Patrick Corbin said trading him. You know, we all saw what Greinke could do, evidenced by last year. So, no, I think it's a very good team. They just happen to be in the wrong division. Mm-hmm. From top to bottom, it may be the toughest division in baseball.
You look at the NL West and where the Dodgers are, Bob, but you also just look at the wild card. It's going to be, what, 90, 85 wins, something around that range for them to get into postseason this year? Maybe north of 90?
Well, you know, the trouble is in baseball is with the unbalanced schedule. And so if you're the National League East and you only have two teams trying to win, you know, the Nationals and the Mets, you know, so you're beating up on all the bad teams. So you got to figure, you know, if the Mets just, you know, are a decent team, they should get one wild card spot. National League Central, you know, still got two teams, you know, kind of rebuilding in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. So it's tough to get a wild card spot. It really is. Because teams are going to beat each other up in the West. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, all it takes is 90 wins to win that division in the West because of the way they're going to knock each other off.
Back on the Diamondbacks, Bob, when you look at the outfield situation here with Souza coming on board and Martinez exiting, A.J. Pollock, last year we started around midseason hearing the possibility that they're not going to be able to afford to re-sign him. David Peralta is here. Yasmani Tomas has got the $48 million, I believe, it's left on his deal. Sort through this outfield situation, and could we see a Russ Ortiz-type situation, Eric Burns-type situation, where Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall write a check to Yasmani Tomas and say, please go away?
I don't see that. I mean, he still has tremendous power. You can still use him. I don't see him doing that. I really don't. I think if they did, people would jump on him because mm-hmm. he still has a ton of talent, a ton of pop. So, you know, worst comes to worst, you know, going to mix and match, you know, play him occasionally. You know, maybe even play him at first base if you want, give a you know, day off to Goldschmidt, you know, whatever you want to do. But I don't think they're at that point.
Pollock, what's Pollock's future in Arizona from your view? Contract year, going to get a lot out on the open market. A.J. Pollock, take me through that one.
Yeah, you know, with all the being injury prone and everything else, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens to this guy. You know, the market was so strange this past year. He can play defense, which is going to help him. He's the type of guy, you know, I can see, you know, making an absolute killing in free agency or struggling and you kind of hang around till January to get a job. So he's got value, but he's coming out the wrong year because there's so many studs coming to the market.
That's right. That's right, with Bryce Harper leading the way. Zach Greinke's situation here in Arizona, they kicked around the idea of moving him in the offseason. From my understanding, you probably heard the same. I'm sure you did. How do you move $33 million a year if you're the Diamondbacks? And if you don't get off to a good start, is it imperative you get him out of here?
Well, that's the thing. He's making so much money, particularly compared to today's game. You know, prices kind of roll back. I would think if the Diamondbacks are not in the race at the playoff, by 31st trade deadline, then go ahead and see what we can do to move them. You're probably going to have to eat some money, but not that much because of what we did last year. If you had a strong first half, everybody's looking for a pitcher like that. So I think you can move them for sure. I don't think you can think about it unless you're out of the race.
One other thing before I let you go, Bob, and that is, the pace of play conversation and the speeding up of the game and the rules, Commissioner Manfred addressed it earlier this week here in the Valley. Is this going to shake out without controversy free, or is this going to be a real work in progress?
No, it's going to be a work in progress for sure. I must be honest, man, for wanting to have a pitch clock, he really did. He was all set to do it. And he thought they and worked out an agreement with the union. Like, okay, you're going to have no pitch clock now. If you go over 255 this year, you're going to have one next year. And that was kind of agreement and kind of fell apart. And I think, if Manfred, his wishes was to put a pitch clock right now. But I think he was just afraid to because of all the unrest and tension from the free agent market. He didn't want the players complaining all year. So I think we'll definitely see it next year, no matter what the players think.
Safe travels. Appreciate your time and insight as always, Bob. See you around here in March. Thanks.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Brad.
See you, Bob. There's Bob Nightingale, USA Today columnist, MLB Network. Good stuff there with Bob. Goody at the Movies is coming up a little bit later in the show. And we're going to talk to Bill about Game Night, Annihilation, and The Party. And also Black Panther just crushing it, if he's surprised by that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So today is a good day on a couple of fronts. Today I turn a year older. Today is my birthday, and I'm happy I'm on the right side of the grass, A. B, it's National Margarita Day. So somehow I have to figure out, I just saw on Twitter that National Margarita Day is trending. One of the things I don't like at times about what we do here is we get so busy that we don't take the time to celebrate much. Eric's birthday is November 1st. I don't think I remembered your birthday. Jared's birthday.
Or even.
I don't think Jared, I didn't remember your birthday either, did I?
Jared, when's your birthday? November 14th.
Yeah, I didn't remember Jared's either. And we're just too busy. I mean, is that
it's nothing personal?
No, it's nothing personal. It's, I've got these people sending in wishes and all that stuff. It's just we're doing shows. I am not the guy that says it's my birthday, I'm taking a day off. I don't think you're the guy that says that. And Jared never takes a day off. So, I mean, what are we doing here?
Unless Jared is near death, he does not take days off.
Well, even when he's near death, he doesn't take days off. I think that's.
And when I say near death, I mean near death.
Yes. So
he's the Iron Man for a reason.
That's it. National Margarita Day. Last night you were out on the high school front, huh?
Yeah, I went down to ASU, caught some of the 5A semi, or excuse me, the 6A semifinals.
The largest division,
game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Nico Mannion is the big name this year, and he's a Marvin Bagley-esque in terms of ability and sky, different player, guard and all that stuff,
no.
But in terms of hype. Terms of hype, every year, like Jalen House is the guy next year. Eddie House's kid, right?
I don't think Nico Mannion had nearly the hype that Marvin Bagley did. But Nico Mannion's a really good player.
But bigs get more hype.
They do.
Yeah, centers,
especially freakishly athletic bigs like Marvin Bagley.
Like Marvin Bagley
plays
yeah.
like a point guard, but is 6'10" and a half.
So. Yeah, when he was here for 2 years, I mean Alex Barcelo when he was at Corona, he would get some hype. Marcus Jordan Howard when they were at Perry. They got some.
Casey Benson, Dorian Pickens.
Yeah,
we've had quite
Dorian
a few
Pickens,
good players come through here.
Jared Bayless, if we go way back.
Yep.
Mike Bibby, if we go way, 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 way back.
Richard Jefferson.
So where is Channing Frye? So
although he was not a great high school player. But
he was a big that just kind of came along, right?
Yeah, he improved a lot at U of A.
So where's Nico Mannion at then? Is he a Pepperdine guy? Is
no,
he a Santa Clara
no,
guy?
No, 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 no. He's a big time D1 player.
Right.
And last night, Pinnacle ended up beating Desert Vista in overtime, and he played really well. He's improved, like I said, a ton between his freshman and sophomore season, and he's so athletic. That he can, like yesterday, he got to the rim pretty much whenever he wanted against a very, very, very talented Desert Vista team. And Brophy lost. So it's going to be Pinnacle and Mountain Point in the final. The one seed went down in the late game last night. But Nico Mannion, special player, really athletic. And I'm looking forward to next Wednesday.
So, and right now, Bobby's offered him, right?
Yes.
Bobby's offered him. Has anybody else offered him? Is Sean offered him at U of A?
I don't know. He's only a sophomore, though, and he's going to be getting a lot of interest from schools. He already has.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, Sports Illustrated did a feature on him when I think he was like an eighth grader or something. So the hype is real on Nico Mannion.
I told you there's an eighth grader that's already been offered by everybody. It's one of those same deals, and I just can't go into the gym to see him, even though I've seen him work out individually. We're not going to do pieces on eighth graders. I'm seeing websites now. They're doing the sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth. We're just not going to do that. Guilty as charged. If you're thinking, well, what's your business model? Why not? People want it. We're not going to blow these kids up when they're sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. They get into high school and they get an offer after their freshman year. Like Spencer Rattler was in that game last night, right? And you were pretty tight with him. And when was the first time we did a Spencer story?
His first game of his high school football
career.
Because
we knew, right?
I saw him play basketball in between his eighth grade and freshman year. He was already playing on Pinnacle's varsity basketball summer league team as technically a graduated eighth grader. And that's when I heard the hype about, yeah, this kid's a pretty good quarterback. And his first game was against Chandler. It's pretty incredible to see how much better he's gotten. And he was not overwhelmed playing against that great Chandler team with N'Keal Harry and Chase Lucas and all those guys when he was a freshman.
Yeah, the kid that I'm talking about in eighth grade, he's going to be an NBA kid. It just
wow.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate that I even know this, but it's coming, and there's a story there. There's a deep dive there, Eric, for us to do on the battle for this kid and his high school. There's coaches that are turning in coaches on this eighth grader because they're all recruiting him, trying to get him to go there, and he's 6'10" and can do all sorts of things with the ball. That's pretty crazy. So that's good on Nico Mannion. That was good that you're out there. I was in the space of watching some Olympics last night, I was on CNN, one of the very few times that I'm on CNN. I'm not the guy that sits there and has Fox News turns up to 1,000 decibels saying they're right, or MSNBC saying they're right, or CNN saying they're right. You know, the last time I checked, our industry is not supposed to be one, especially in the political side, that says, well, this is what is right, and you guys are all stupid and wrong if you don't watch us or believe us. And there's just entirely too much of that. There's a school shooting, so let's not sit here and take sides and politicize this deal. But of course we do. But I got into the women's hockey, even though I didn't make it to the end. It was a fail on my part. I don't know if it's turning, getting another birthday, but I didn't make it to the end last night. But the shootout win, I saw it this morning, Maddie Rooney, the overtime save. I mean, how great is this for our country? Can you name even one or two of these players? I can't, but it doesn't matter. They did something that hasn't been done in our country since 1998 in winning the Olympics last night. They are replaying this game. It went into six overtimes last night, six shootouts, I should say. And it went on, and they're replaying it this afternoon against Canada at, like, I think it's 2:00 this afternoon, if you didn't get a chance to see it. We know the outcome. The boat sinks at the end. But maybe you're one of those that wants to watch this from start to finish and take it all in. I think that's pretty cool. So that happened. A few other things outside of the Olympics, though, and the Olympics are finally coming to an end. It feels like all I'm seeing on the Olympics are ice dancing and skiing, and it was nice to have some hockey last night. Things like the bobsled or the skeet shooting or things like that, it's fine. Biathlon, what I call it, skeet shooting. Wrong sport. The biathlon, it's fine. There's just not enough of it. The Mark Cuban story, though, if you've not been following what's gone on in Dallas here the last few days, I'm only going to stick to the on-the-court side because the off-the-court piece component of sexual harassment and Cuban having somebody employed not once but twice from the team's website who was involved in domestic violence and Cuban taking full responsibility for it, that doesn't impact, I don't think, you. You guys know it's not correct. It's not right. This part is where you have to come down and say, I want this guy as my owner or I don't want this guy as my owner. And that is this. Mark Cuban was fined $600,000 for doing a podcast interview with Dr. J and admitting that he was tanking games and that he talked about the benefit of it with his veteran players on the team. If Robert Sarver were fined $600,000 by the NBA for anything that resembled, I'm fighting for the best chance to give my team to win. Do you remember when Robert Sarver mocked Greg Popovich by doing the chicken thing? Do you remember that? Do you remember when there was a certain swagger about Robert Sarver in doing the goofy and the different sort of stuff And now we don't even hear from Robert Sarver. We don't see Robert Sarver. I sat with Robert Sarver last July, and he was very contrite. But I'm not going to sit there off of one interview and say it's all changed. I remember that day saying, maybe a leaf is being turned over. He admitted openly, I didn't know what I was getting into. This is a lot harder than what I thought it was. I thought you could just blow up some basketballs and roll them out on the floor. And I had people that said, don't buy into that. Don't buy into what he's saying. He's just playing you. Don't buy into it. So what happens? A couple games into the season, they fire their coach. A couple weeks into the season, Eric Bledsoe is no longer here. Now we're sitting here with a team that's being humiliated and embarrassed. And they come out this week. The coach says, yeah, I want to be here. The general manager says, we're not going to tank games. And I'm sitting over here on the sidelines saying, guys, you're coming up on the eight-year anniversary of not making the playoffs. And your draft record, to me, you can throw Devin Booker in there. Of course, you should. But Josh Jackson, to this point, has done really not much other than the last couple of weeks. And that's a miss. You should not miss on the fourth pick. The fourth pick should be invited by the NBA to be put on display at the All-Star game. That tells you all you need to know about this being a miss. Oh, well, you're a hater. No, I'm not going to go off just the last 2 weeks. The whole body of work is it's been a miss so far. So Marquise Chris, miss. Dragan Bender, miss. Alex Len, miss. Oh, but they're playing better. Give me a full body of work, guys. So I respect the hell out of Mark Cuban because he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to do the right thing on the court for the product, for the fans. I don't hear anything from Robert. Nothing. Robert, you have an open invitation to sit at this microphone and come in and defend yourself on this thing if you want. It's fine. If you say I'm all wrong, all I'm looking at is wins, losses, and playoff appearances in the last 8 years. That's all I can look at. That's all you've given us. Not that hard. So when I read that the Suns are going to be in the free agent market for Aaron Gordon this summer, Eric, does Aaron Gordon, a former number, the fourth overall pick, that the Suns are going to be in the market for Aaron Gordon, does Aaron Gordon do anything for you?
That's just what they need, another wing. They need another. He's a good player. He'll fit in well.
TJ Warren's a good player.
TJ Warren's
a good player.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Brad.
I mean,
as soon as you said Aaron Gordon, I said, well, what's TJ Warren? They're pretty much like the same position, and they're both pretty much the same age.
What is DeAndre Ayton on the Suns roster? Nobody. Nobody. That's the answer.
Yeah, right. a difference maker, an immediate impact player, someone that would team with Devin Booker and actually like maybe not only bring excitement but some wins, because the last time the Suns made the playoffs was...
Yeah, I know. May 27, 2010.
Thank you.
Even I'm getting tired of that number.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to test you on your birthday.
Well, yeah,
your memory
not that
is
old
still
yet.
Sharp.
Huh? What? Steve, what'd you say? I mean, Aaron Gordon, there's nothing. It's just the continuation of the revolving door. And then I see Mark Cuban actually go out there, and he's got $600,000. Robert, you have $600,000 floating around. I'm not saying to spend foolishly, but come on. You're not going to win more fans on your season ticket renewal. Robert, understand, you're not going to get more fans on season ticket renewal by winning any games. You're not going to get sponsors doing renewals and big renewals here in the next 2.5 months, or 2 months. So please embrace it. Cuban, again, there's certain owners you want on your side. I don't want to see what is continuing here. And Robert's not going to sell the team. He's just not. I get on this rant about him, and I just feel like I'm turning this every show into bashing the Suns, and I'm just not. I'm pointing out how just unacceptable this is. And rather than the narrative around town, like, well, they may be close, they may be this, and the timeline and all that garbage. No, no. Good at the Movies is next. Stay with us. Now, because you know what is going on in the world of sports, and I'm getting texts saying I'm a Suns hater, and I'm not. Just not good. I will point out that Bill is good every week. Bill Goody Kunz, Good at the Movies. It's always good to see Bill and hear Bill's voice. I saw Bill at Black Panther last week. He looked swell. Black Panther killed it at the office, as you predicted. And by the way, are you surprised? I saw $300 million for Black Panther last week. Are you surprised?
I think everybody's surprised that it did that much business. By the way, why do you hate the Suns? Why do you hate freedom?
Did you watch CNN last night? By the way, did you watch the? Did you watch everything that was going on at Parkland?
Oh my gosh,
it was good. I got emotional a couple times. It's good.
Well, I was doing some ferrying of children, and I did not get a chance to.
Uber.
But I've certainly seen the video since, and it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, you were the Uber driver, as I like to say. I'm in that space in life too. We have three movies, so let's go with let's start with Annihilation, and take me through Annihilation. The fans through Annihilation. Is this worth seeing this weekend?
Oh yeah, I loved it. Loved it. It's by Alex Garland. He's the same guy that made Ex Machina, which was one of my favorite movies of, I guess now it's 2015, 2016. It's really good. And this is one of those movies that, like, it's kind of hard to explain, and it's actually hard to understand, but, man, I really liked it. And Natalie Portman plays this biologist, and her husband is a soldier who's presumed dead. He's been missing for a year. And he comes back, but he's different. Something's wrong with him. And it all sort of leads to this place that they call the Shimmer, which is this sort of giant bubble that's growing and growing and growing, and everything inside it, like the laws of nature don't apply. There are bad, genetic things going on in there. It's really scary, but it's also really thoughtful. And at the end, it's almost like 2001, A Space Odyssey or something. It's not going to be to everybody's liking, and the pace is a bit patient, you might say. But I'd like to see it again. I really liked it.
All right, so that's pretty good coming from you. Let's move from that one over to Game Night. When I saw Game Night, the trailer of Game Night, I said, this looks like a disaster. This looks painful. Am I wrong or am I right?
You're wrong. It's funny.
It's funny. Okay, all right. It's good.
It's stupid as all get out, but it is funny. Jason Bateman has got to be one of the great straight men in all of movies and certainly TV of Arrested Development. And Rachel McAdams, who's all, she's got an Oscar nomination for The Post, but she was in Mean Girls and stuff, and she's a pretty well-known comedic actress, but she's really funny in it. And what's cool about this movie is it has some people like Kyle Chandler, who was the coach in Friday Night Lights, the TV show, and Jesse Plemons, who was also in Friday Night Lights, but was also in Breaking Bad. You don't often see them in comedic roles, and they're in this, and they're really funny. And it's basically Kyle Chandler and Rachel McAdams are a married couple who are super hyper-competitive, and they host a game night. And he's jealous of his brother, who's Kyle Chandler. And his brother hosts the night one time, and it ends up being this murder mystery-type game, but it goes pretty horribly wrong. And they end up having to kind of solve like a real crime before somebody gets killed. And it sounds stupid, and it is stupid, but it's just funny. I really thought it was funny.
You laughed out loud?
Yeah.
Well, that takes a lot. That takes a lot for you, I think.
And I was in the thing by myself, and that's always like really, kind of weird to sit there and laugh out loud by yourself.
Isn't it creepy when you go to a screening by yourself?
It's not creepy. I was the Kingman Bureau for the Republic. I got used to going to the movies by myself a lot, and I liked it. I didn't mind it. I actually kind of ended up liking it. But when it's just you, it's never just me. It's me and a security guy watching me to make sure that I don't tape the movie.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
took some getting used to.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have some rep sitting there down the hall from you or down the aisle from you. Let's go from Game Night then to our final movie, and that is The Party. What is The Party about?
The Party is a black and white film. It's only 71 minutes long, and it's the perfect length because 72 minutes and you couldn't watch it. But 71 minutes, chugging in at 71, it's perfect. It's this really good cast: Kristen Scott Thomas and Cillian Murphy and a bunch of British and Irish and even American actors. Kristen Scott Thomas gets a promotion. She's going to be like the health minister of Great Britain or whatever, and she's going to throw this big party, and she's getting ready for it. But her husband, Timothy Spall, is in there just getting hammered with drinking wine and listening to records right before the party. And all these party guests come, and it turns out to be just a horrible disaster. There's one life-changing revelation after another. None of them, well, maybe, I don't think any of them really that good. It sounds like a disaster to, you know, not something you'd want to sit through, but the acting is so good, and it's really funny, too, that it's, I really liked it. But, as I say, one more second would have been too much, but and the way it is, it's just right.
And this is not showing wide, I'm guessing.
No, this is a Camel View movie. I don't anticipate this one doing Black Panther numbers. I don't actually anticipate anything doing Black Panther numbers.
This morning, my 13-year-old comes out, and he's not feeling well. So he said he needs to stay at home. So I said, well, if you're going to stay at home, you need to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and you need to write 200 words on it for your social studies project. And he kind of tilts his head at me, and I said, it's got to be on Netflix. We go look for it. It's not on Netflix. So he was going to try to find it elsewhere. But this is totally random, but where are you at on Ferris Bueller's Day Off in terms of great comedies and social movies?
I always liked it. I know some people don't like it. And I've got to say that as I get older, the character of Ferris Bueller himself, becomes more and more obnoxious. Like he's just a jerk, but the movie was just so much fun. And you know, the thing that everybody gravitates to, and for good reason, is the parade, you know, and
yeah.
And shout. And,
yep.
And I mean, that was just, that's just gleeful fun. I mean, you know, it's not my favorite John Hughes movie by any means. He wrote it, I guess, but I'm a 16 Candles man myself, but I think it's fun. I would think if you're his age, I mean, what's not to love, man?
You're a 16 Candles guy, so if I ever do a trivia about Bill that people would be find amusing or interesting, he's a 16 Candles genre guy. So I've got that down in my book.
Yeah, that's small audience for that game, though.
That's not game night by any stretch.
Not game night.
All right, I'll see you soon. Stay well, thanks.
See ya.
There's Bill Goodykins. Good at the movies. Tonight the Coyotes play. They've won 5 of 7. I wish I could say that they've captivated the marketplace, but when you're bad for so long, and this isn't hating on them, I think they're figuring it out, but between the building and the team not playing well, and you don't know who's on the roster, it's the in-between year after Shane Doan leaves, so they're trying to figure out who they can market, who they can put out there, who fans can gravitate towards. They're still playing all the way out in Glendale. They don't have their building situation straightened out, but I do believe that having Steve Patterson there as president, for those of you that are ASU fans, you didn't like Steve Patterson at ASU, I think you missed the boat. Those of you that are Steve Patterson guys when he was at Texas, I understand why you weren't happy with him. I get it. But he's somebody that here in town is trying to turn that situation around. I think their GM, John Chyka, people talk about his age all the time. I just look at on the ice. He's transformed this thing. He really has. He's turned this thing around. There was too long a period of time where the team wasn't good. And this isn't directed towards Shane. It's not his fault. They had nobody else really outside of Mike Smith to market and to put out there. But I think that they've shown some signs of life. The building situation's got to get straightened out. They play tonight. And then there's all the college basketball I talked about earlier. We're getting into March Madness now. This is seeding position. This is Dan Marley trying to get his team figured out tonight for GCU. This is Bobby Hurley saying, can we do more than shoot 25-foot jump shots? You know, can Sean Miller's team figure out a bounce pass or an entry pass to a 7-footer? And if you're a Suns fan, you're going to watch DeAndre Ayton tonight and say, yeah, Brad's making a lot of sense here. We do need to lose games because we want this guy on our team. And maybe Sean Miller's the coach. I put that up on the website. Speaking of which, there is plenty of content up on the website right now that you can check out. Pro College High School, High School College Pro. Good group, good mix of stories up there today on the site. We are self-funded, which means that sponsors say, we believe in what you are doing. We appreciate our sponsors. And for them being with us and us being with them, it has been 6 years plus of us doing this day in and day out. So we appreciate those that believe in what we do. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces. Have yourself a great Thursday.